Hey there. Welcome to season two of Ryan Hates Movies. I'm your host, Ryan, and with me today is three-time world champion Ryan Hates Movies podcast guest, Tim Irwin.
That's right. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I decided to come back for the second season, be your first multi-season guest.
Multi-season, first three-peat.
Defend the title. what good is winning a championship if somebody else has to come along and take it from you? You gotta get in there.
I did say that only just this morning did I come up with the idea for season two, mm-hmm. since it has been a while since the last episode. Hopefully, I'm still working from the same list as last time. So hopefully this movie is still on Netflix because I'm still working from that list. I did not make a new list, even though I've had plenty of time to. That's what I was doing, actually. No, I take that back. From between seasons one and two, I was doing research all of this work and putting together a team, a crack team.
Yeah, this isn't an easy thing, these podcasts.
No, it's not. It's not like you just invite a friend over to your house and talk into some microphones.
That'd be silly.
So the movie that Tim has selected is called Pay the Ghost.
Pay the Ghost.
Yep. It is on Netflix.
We hope.
If it's not...
Who takes movies like that down? You just leave those up.
You just leave those up so you can say that you have 6,000 movies and...
You pad the bottom of the Netflix queue.
So we're doing Pay the Ghost. Do you have any idea what this movie's about?
My brain goes one of two places. It's either like paying somebody to go across the River Styx, which would be like a natural answer, or there's some sort of ghost hooking involved.
Ghost hooking? Yeah. All right.
Which I would love. Ghost hooking sounds like a great premise. I did just watch the other day.
Man, you got to pay the ghost.
You better pay that ghost. Ghost pimp slapping you around. It's not good.
Ghost slaps.
Ghost slaps are surprisingly tough. But I would imagine something like that. I just recently watched Frankenhooker, which is an old horror movie.
I've never seen it, but I am aware of it.
It's pretty good as far as B horror movies go. Like, I thought it was going to be abysmal, and I couldn't watch it. It is just the good bad, the good bad you look
for bad.
In B movies. So.
Like the Ryan Hates Movies favorite Wolf Cop.
I love Wolf Cop. It's getting a comic.
It's getting a comic and a sequel.
Oh, it's so good.
That's definitely, as soon as we can get our hands on that, we're definitely doing that. But I have to do that with Josh Carter and Jim Viola because they did the first one.
Can I quietly sit in the background?
I mean, there's no reason why we can't include you in the mix, but but I mean, a four-peat?
Well,
I mean, we got to give somebody else a turn, right?
We don't have to tell anybody I'm there. Don't acknowledge me at all.
All right, so Pay the Ghost is probably going to be a horror movie, I'm thinking.
Most likely.
I mean, or a horror comedy.
A romantic comedy.
I mean, there's Ghost, the movie Ghost, and I'm sure other movies.
Probably other movies that have
ghosts in them and romantic elements.
Nobody can top Ghost.
Nobody can top Ghost.
There was pottery in that movie.
There was.
It's all anybody ever thinks of.
It's true. That and, nope, that's just it.
That's about it.
I can't think of anything else. Oh, and Ditto. Ditto.
Correct.
So do you think they're going to say the name of the movie in the movie?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're like...
This sounds like just a sentence. I feel like they just titled the movie based off a line. They're like, what are we going to call this piece of crap? Thumbing through the script. Pay the Ghost.
Pay the Ghost.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, they're absolutely going to say it. I hope they say it many times.
Yeah, give me a context. Give me two contexts for how they're going to say it.
Excuse me, sir, could I have some more? No, pay the ghost.
All right, there's one.
And
the second one, you know, I think maybe even your River Styx thing. How do I get across? You must pay the ghost. All, like, reverential
with,
and...
With ghost money?
Yeah, no. No, with real money! There's no such thing as ghost money. Don't be ridiculous.
How do ghosts hold money? Are they more phantasms? Or, I don't know. Now we're...
And maybe it is ghost money.
Maybe. How do you acquire ghost money?
Ghost chores?
Ooh, like sweeping the...
sweeping the bats out of the belfry or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We aren't able to get rid of the bats, but if you do, you'll earn yourself 5 ghost credits.
Ghost chores.
This movie's gonna be awesome.
Oh man, it better be. Who do you think is gonna be in this gem?
Well, I think every time I've been on, I've said Susan Sarandon.
So you're going to go with Susan Sarandon?
I think I should, or Sharon Stone. I always pick, like, the older actresses.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would I just don't think there's going to be a name in this. I would love this to have somebody, like, you don't, outside of the Expendables, you don't see, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme or Steven Seagal or people like that. I would love somebody like that to show up in these movies.
Okay.
But I'm going to just, for, you know.
Yeah, you know what? It might not be, it could just be an action movie, now that you're saying, like, Steven Seagal. It could be, like, you know, like, just an action movie, like, nothing
like his
spooky,
code name is the ghost.
And, like, right, or, yeah. Like, there's that movie with Ben Affleck called The Accountant, or
sure,
whatever, and he's, like, a super assassin. Like, it could be, like, way off, like, nothing horror. I feel like horror movie, that's what I'm, the vibe I'm getting from it, but it could not be. It could
oh,
be.
Man, now I want it to be an action movie.
Yeah.
But, like, not a good
be,
one.
Like, just bad.
Like, maybe all their budget goes on one really good scene, and the rest is just really hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think we're stuck with. There's no way this is good, right?
Well, I mean, also to bring up Wolf Cop again, Wolf Cop is the only good movie,
right,
that we that I've seen during all of season one of this podcast.
Yeah.
So unless season two is going to go in a different direction, I don't think so. And, like, you know, sometimes there's kind of a reason why no one's ever heard of these movies before. We all have Netflix, and no one's ever heard of these movies.
That's true, and Wolf Cop's the only one to get its comic book.
Yep.
There's no Project Almanac comic book.
No.
Or
although,
Almanac.
Yeah, we saw that one in the movies, quote unquote.
We sure did.
Do you just want to watch Project Almanac
no.
again?
God, no.
I have the DVD.
I know, I gave it to you as a joke. There's no way in hell I'm watching that movie ever again.
Well, Leander will probably watch it again.
I'm not really into Imagine Dragons. I think if I was, because it was basically just a concert for Imagine Dragons.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I keep forgetting that they kept going to an Imagine Dragons concert.
Yeah, and it was like, it's time travel. So
it was
like,
an MTV movie.
I understand that, but Jesus, that was like a quarter to a third of the movie.
It's going to date that movie really, really.
That's
yeah.
fine. That's a bad movie.
It is a bad movie.
It's time travel. It could be any time.
So who am I going to pick to be in this movie? I think I want to go with somebody from, like, a TV show that's kind of popular now. Like, this is always where I'm going
sure.
with this, where,
yeah.
like, they made this movie before the show got popular, and now they're like, oh, we need to cash in on so-and-so's popularity. Like, I don't know, like, the guy from Arrow or something. Like,
sure.
the guy
Stephen
who played
ML.
Stephen Amell. Like, he's in this movie, and he made it before the show got big, and then they were, like, sitting, because they're like, this movie sucks.
But now people will buy it.
But now people will buy it because yeah. they see him in the movie.
You're probably right. That's the only way there's a name in here, unless it is, like, an action movie, and Steven Seagal is the ghost.
Well, right. That's action movies, because there's so many B-level action hero type guys, or even, like, you know, wrestlers.
Sure.
Trying to, I mean, if it was a wrestler, you probably would have heard of it, though, right?
I would. No, probably, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right, so if it was wrestling, a wrestler would be in it, maybe, or something like that. I don't know. If it's a horror movie, it could be somebody that we don't know because we're 900 years old.
Sure.
Like one of those MTV girls
right.
who is in this horror movie. And for all I know, it could have been in the theaters and did well. Ish enough, you know, like a $30 million movie that, you know, made 50 in the box office type of a thing with, I don't know, a teen sensation that I don't know because I am old.
Sure.
Starring Taylor Swift.
Oh, man. As the ghost.
As the ghost. Because she's so white.
What if this is a sequel? What if, like, this is like the straight to DVD release of I don't know, hire the ghost and then pay the ghost.
And hire. and then sadly, the third one is fire the ghost.
Fire the ghost. It's just a giant
lay off the ghost.
Lay off the ghost. The ghost has to find his own work.
This is actually the second ghost movie because we did yeah. Ghost Graduation
yeah.
also on the podcast. So I should create...
If there's a ghost.
That's true. If there's a ghost, I'm assuming ghost because ghost is in the title.
I hope this is so bad.
So... I should have some kind of bingo card where it's like, you know, like
man,
ghost
man.
Movie and yeah, action movie and Canadian movie. My God, that thing would be full.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Yeah, Canada.
Yeah, yeah. You're welcome, Canada. We should actually double check at the end. Like, you know, we'll do our research in the middle to see if this is a Canadian movie.
I bet it is.
I bet it is.
Mm-hmm. Netflix crawling with the Canadian movies.
Just lousy. Lousy with Canadian movies. Lousy with lousy Canadian movies.
Well, you know, most of our American actors and actresses are actually Canadian actors and actresses.
That's true.
If you do the research. So.
That's true. They're very big into the arts up there in Canada. Mm-hmm.
In Canada?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. New Canada.
All right. So what are some other, oh, yeah. I think, how old do you think this movie is?
I feel it's going to be newer.
I think it's newer.
I'm going to say like 2006, a couple years old.
All right. I'm going to say like 2000 and I just went.
You did. That was,
yeah.
That was sexy.
I'm going to have to edit that out. I see that point
right
there.
No, you leave that in for them.
No, I'm going to edit it out.
I'm going to reference it as much as possible. You're never going to want to edit it.
What was I going to say? Oh, I'm thinking like 2010.
Mm-hmm. You had that 2010 in your eyes.
I did.
That's what the pop was.
Yeah. I was like, 2010.
It's probably 2010.
All right. So you're thinking Susan Sarandon because you're always picking her.
I have to.
I'm thinking like Stephen Amell or something like that.
That would be great, yeah.
Or like a TV show guy.
Yeah. It's always, I don't know. I watched a movie. I'm going to go on a tangent because I like
it. Go ahead.
I watched a movie called Ticks.
Okay.
On my B-movie marathon I was watching. It had Seth Green in it before he was known, so he was like 13 or something.
All right.
But it also had the guy that played Carlton on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
All right.
And, you know, the old stereotype of the black guy dies first in the horror movie and then like that. He was, spoilers for this movie, everything bad ever happened to him and basically him.
Wow.
Nobody else really got the axe too bad comparatively, but they're like, where's Carlton? Like, terrible.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, it was really bad. You should watch that movie.
Poor
it's awful.
It's called Ticks. Yeah, but I know who's in it now. But
no,
I guess,
but I'm
oh,
saying,
just on my own time for
yeah,
fun?
Yeah, if you
Is
wanna,
it on Netflix?
Maybe. I got it off of, like, HBO or something.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, any final thoughts on this movie?
I think we're going to hate ourselves for watching it.
All right.
I don't know. Are we due? We might be due for a decent one.
Oh, wait. We are due. We do this before. I don't know. Well, we'll save the guess the Rotten Tomatoes and all that for when we come
sure.
back.
We can do that at the end.
Yeah, when we come back. So stay tuned. We're going to go watch a movie,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll be right back mm-hmm. on season two of Ryan Hates Movies.
Bum, bum.
Aw, man, Trey, look up at the sky. It's a full moon on the Sabbath.
This is scary.
Break it down.
I was working late on my half Torah when I heard a knock on my bedroom door. I opened it up, and to my surprise, there was a werewolf standing there with glowing gold eyes. He says, tomorrow, my son, you will be a man. But tonight's the time to join the wolfen clan. Tomorrow you will stand at the beamer and pray. But tonight, let's gaze at the moon and bathe. Werewolf for mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolf. Werewolf for mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves.
All right, that was great, Trey. Okay,
that's a wrap.
We paid the ghost.
We paid the ghost. You know, I gotta say, there's nothing more depressing than when we put on the movie we've chosen. And it starts off by saying Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, this is a Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah.
And it was only 90 minutes long.
It felt way longer.
It really felt like 4 hours. I squirmed. I was looking at my phone so much because I just could not. I could not watch. It was unwatchable. Well, all right. Let's get into it because it was not unwatchable.
It was not unwatchable.
It was one of those movies. And these are, I feel like, some of the hardest movies to do on the podcast are the ones that aren't bad enough to just completely destroy.
Right.
But aren't good enough to be like, huh, that movie was great. You know what I liked about that movie? It right down the middle.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot going on for this movie. But it was probably the best Nicolas Cage movie I've seen in a long time.
Well, this is definitely, I feel like it's in that Nicolas Cage bankruptcy. Like, where he was just doing every movie that he could to get paychecks to... you. When you were saying before in the pre-show, like, them spending their money on one thing in the budget, or what, it was him.
Yeah, he was
for
the one
this
thing.
For
yeah.
this movie. It was him. I was also sort of right because Rick's wife from The Walking Dead,
yeah, Sarah Wayne Callies or something. Her name.
Yeah, was Nicolas Cage's wife.
Right. So you had a TV actress. Yeah.
Get a little closer to that microphone.
No, I don't want to. Yeah, you had a TV actress.
Give it some kisses. So. Yikes.
All the listeners turned off.
For those of you who came back.
Welcome back.
It was also a Canadian movie.
Yeah.
We checked that off of the list. You know what? Never mind. I got a computer. We could just do it this way. I was going to go get my phone for Rotten Tomatoes, we could do it on the computer here.
The film was very grainy.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
Oh, for a movie that came out, I think I checked 2015.
Really?
2015, wow. This movie came out last year, and it looked... The film quality was definitely Canadian film quality, you know?
I don't know what that means, but I agree 100%.
You know, just a little bit... not as good as Americans, but kind of like it, you know? Like, how can't connect? Canada is.
Oh. Well, you know, it was an interesting movie, I guess, is all I can say.
It was a horror movie.
Yeah.
All right, so let's dig into this. Let's break it down.
Well, it's more thriller until... I don't know, two-thirds through the movie. It's weird. It's
I mean, the cold open, it opens in 1679 New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the cold open was not scary, and it was supposed to be, so we're already starting off on the wrong foot.
Yeah. The open, a little misleading, but that's good, I guess, in this case.
Oh, you thought it was going to take place all in the 1600s?
No, I just thought it makes you think someone's the bad guy who's not.
Oh,
but it's nobody's gonna watch this movie. We said Nicolas Cage. So.
So it starts out. They're a happy family. Nicolas Cage is the dad. Mm-hmm. The mom is the lady from Walking Dead, and they have a young son, Charlie.
She was really good. And her acting was really good, and I don't like her.
You know what? But the thing is that Nicolas Cage was fine in it. Like, he wasn't... I really wanted the unhinged, like, crazy Nicolas Cage.
I wanted bullets across his chest.
And I'm not even that, but just, like, when he goes all goofy acting, you know what I mean? And he didn't. He kind of just...
Pay the ghost! Whoa.
Right, exactly. Like, woo! Pay the ghost! Ah! Like, nothing like that. He was just Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Nerdy Nicolas Cage.
Mm-hmm. A funny thing to establish that they were like this happy family, mm-hmm. is that wife was always DTF.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
she was just always like, I want Nicolas Cage all up inside of me all the time. Like,
it was a little odd.
I know. I was like, all right, like, it's all right. Like, you're married to Nicolas Cage. Let's, you know, keep your shirt on. literally and figuratively. But, yes, they did, in fact. The little kid said was the first instance of, Dad, can we pay the ghost?
Right.
Like,
right.
He said it. They went to a Halloween
carnival,
and they're walking through, and weird things are happening, and the son sees the ghost lady for the first time. Yeah.
And there's vultures, giant vultures.
CGI vultures.
That are very terrible for 2015.
Yeah, I know. But
knowing the year.
But
the movie,
you know what, though? But 2015, Canada, pretty good. Canada, pretty good vultures. Pretty good ghost vultures for Canada. I don't know why whenever we get a Canadian movie, I just go at Canada hard. I just go at them hard.
It's
I don't,
okay.
Yeah. They're our friendly neighbors to the north.
They will forgive you.
Yes, they'll forgive me. And they know I'm just kidding.
They're not listening.
So then he's getting him ice cream, and that's when he's just like, Dad, can we pay the ghost? And Nicolas Cage is like, what?
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 And the kid's gone.
And then he goes to pay, and then the kid disappears. And he's all like, oh, Charlie. Yeah, and which I don't understand, like, can we pay the ghost? Like, what? Why would he say that?
I don't know.
It's like they came up with this phrase, like the writer was just like, pay the ghost, and then like worked a whole movie around it, because not only does the little kid say it, but like it's spray painted on this wall. Like everyone says it in this movie, you know, they say it in Spanish, they say it in Chinese.
Yeah, man.
Like
we're gonna call it Pay the Ghost because I want to.
It's 76% of the dialogue as well.
My favorite part of all the dialogue is everybody's unwilling to help, and then they help.
And then
a
they
lot.
Immediately help and say, and yeah, like
the detective's like, I don't have time for your crackpot theories. Let me get up and investigate your crackpot theories.
And
the one woman at the festival.
Yeah, I want to save that because I want to, like, let's like try to like work our way through.
What, in order? All right.
Let's go in order. Let's try to do some kind of order for this.
Go on.
So, yeah, so everyone says Pay the Ghost. It's like 76% of the dialogue. There also is that weird, I thought it was going to like connect, but it didn't, because Nicolas Cage is a professor at a college. He works with this other lady who's like Swedish or something, or German.
Yeah,
or,
she's supposed to be. Or she, I thought Swedish, but I don't know.
I don't know. She has some kind of European accent. Mm-hmm. And she's archaeology? I don't... Like,
she's
what's
archaeology and
job?
He's like literature? I
yeah.
Because he's always reading like...
He's always...
Ichabod
yeah.
Crane.
Yeah, exactly. But she's like, you know, like dusting off a piece of driftwood that was part of a boat from the 1600s. So just like, oh, I wonder if that has anything to do with it. But it doesn't. It was absolutely nothing. I guess maybe it was just there to establish that she knows about the 1600s.
Right.
But...
Right, because like when they eventually ask her for a little bit of help.
Oh, yeah, she knows.
Like, oh, I could do that.
She knows everything.
She's the only one willing to help.
Yeah, and she knew everything. Yeah. She knew everything, and yeah. It was just like she... It was one of those movies where then they asked her, and she just went right to the right book and like opened it up to the... She's just like, wait, let me see. In this 1600... Oh, yeah, there was a story about a lady who got burned at the stake. And you're like, wait, whoa, she knows everything. Oh, and then the one thing she didn't know, like, he's just like, well, can you find this out? And she was just like... Yes. There was no, like, I will. Like, no, like, I don't know if we have this book in the library. Like, she was just like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll have that by midnight. No problem. He has that crazy, there's that jump in logic, too, where he was just like, put in any, you know, birth, like, put in my birth date or your birth date, and, you know, they find half of the kids, or they find most of the kids that go, like, missing. But if you put in Halloween... only half of the kids like come back or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and like what made him just start like, yeah, he's just like, they're all connected. Like he figures things out. Like there's leaps in logic.
Right. Right.
Also the special effects, I felt like the special effects in it were like Haunted Mansion in Disney.
Ooh.
Like, you know what I mean? Mm. Like they look like almost like that kind of like scariness where it was a hologram. And you,
yeah, it
like,
wasn't good.
It was
the
not
vultures
scary.
Were the worst.
I think sometimes they were real vultures, though.
Do you?
I do.
I don't.
All right, agree to disagree.
I've never seen a Canadian vulture up close, though.
That's
so.
True. That's true. They look very CGI.
Yeah.
So yeah, the special effects were not great.
It was very grainy. The there was like a lot of playing with light and dark and like, oh, this cloud's coming in, it looks awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like then there was times where the effects weren't all that bad.
It was kind of cool when so they call a psychic eventually to come in, and of course she gets a reading, and it's so powerful and overwhelming that it burns her from the inside out. She spontaneously combusts on the inside.
Right.
And when the coroner, which by the way too, how come in horror movies, I wrote this down, coroners only work late at night by themselves in underlit rooms. Like, what? That doesn't seem right. No.
I think they would need better light.
They would need better light, and I'm sure that other people work there. And why are their shift... Why does every coroner's shift start at 11 o'clock at night? I don't understand.
Time to get the bodies
the
from
night
the
shift.
Day.
Yeah, yeah. Save it. Save it for later.
Yes.
We don't want those creepy motherfuckers coming in and working on dead bodies during business hours.
They're creepy, no. At night.
So he's working on her, and then he cuts her open, you know, to do the autopsy, and that's when he finds it. And it did look kind of cool.
No, that was like good. Her, that was definitely one of
the
better
effects.
Yeah,
her, like, burned out insides.
Yeah.
yeah, he has that, Nicolas Cage has that cop keeps suspecting him because he's just like, all I know is that bad things happen when you're around.
Right.
There was that scene. All right, so the scene after that lady gets burned up, and I was wondering if they were going to call the cops or just, like, drop that and
I thought they were just going to bury her in the backyard.
Yeah, like, I was like, because they're going to have to explain this to the cops.
Right, and I was very surprised that the cops kind of left them alone after that.
Yeah, and but all he said was just, don't leave town. Like, and then that whole scene was so bad because the cop was just like, you know, an awful lot of bad things happen when you're around, and then the wife's like, excuse me? Are you insinuating that my husband had anything to do with this? Or whatever, and, like, it was so bad. Like, I don't blame any of the actors. That was straight dialogue problems. Yeah.
No, the acting was fine.
It was fine. Come on, Nicolas Cage.
Shocking. Why did they make him run so much? Can we talk about that?
He's an old man. Don't make the old man run. And that's the other thing we were talking about, too, is Nicolas Cage is like an old man. That lady is like a young woman.
Right.
At what point does Hollywood decide that, like, a 68-year-old man, I don't know how old Nicolas Cage is, I'm overestimating 68. His age, sure. But, like, can be, like, the dad of an 8-year-old boy. Like, you know, he's not a young man anymore, but they made him run so much in this movie.
And, like, he did it.
He did it.
To his credit, but it's like, he's not a young man. It's a little distracting. Like, he ran a lot, and I'm like, how is he not, like, out of breath, falling down, when he finally got to the part towards the end where he opens the gate, and
right.
the ghost stuff is written on the wall.
Well, and that was so he thinks he sees his son on a bus at one point when he's, like, hanging up, you know, missing flyers. He chases the bus through Midtown New York or whatever, and loses the bus, but then sees, like, the vultures, and he goes through that gate, and he finds, like, an underground tunnel filled with homeless people who are all, like, weird. And
yeah.
And he's a blind guy.
The most useful blind guy
Useful blind guy, because he leads him, he's just like, pay the ghost, what does that mean? Because he sees pay the ghost spray painted on the wall. And the blind guy with a torch.
Yeah.
Why the blind guy needs a torch?
I don't know.
We don't know. And leads him through the tunnel and then uses the torch to, like, illuminate the wall where it just says, pay the ghost, pay the ghost, pay the ghost, pay the ghost. Why does he know where this wall is? How does he know what's written on it? And why does he have a torch? Yep. He's blind.
And even later, he produced a flashlight.
Yeah. He was just like, you're going to need this. Like, why does a blind guy have a functioning flashlight? A blind homeless man has, like, a mag light in his pocket.
And I won't spoil things, but, like, the blind guy knew way too much for just a ancillary character.
Everyone who was not either the cop, Nicolas Cage, or his wife was basically just an exposition machine.
They really were.
They were cranking it out. I'm a new character to tell you what the plot is up to this point and where you can go from here.
The blind guy was like better than Daredevil blind guy. Like, he was so insanely useful for a guy that should have not known anything.
That's the other thing, because then when the detective, like you said earlier, when he, like, Nicolas Cage was just like, look up all the people who were, you know, on Halloween, who went missing on Halloween, and the detective's like, I'm not going to do that, that's crazy, and then immediately turns around and just like, get me all the... well, he goes to interview this Chinese lady whose daughter also went missing on Halloween or whatever, and... and then she was just like, her name was like Mia.
Mia.
Yeah. She's like, I thought I heard Mia, and I thought I saw her, so I started running through the city. So apparently if you're like in New York City and there's just a person running through traffic and weaving in and out of traffic,
They're looking for their ghost kid. They're ghost kids. They're probably on the bus. Running foolishly in a different direction.
Okay, and then that's the other thing is, I don't know what it would be like. It's probably a tragedy if you lose your kid at some point.
You know.
But, like, he sees his kid on the bus. Nicolas Cage sees it. And he's still wearing the Halloween costume from when he went missing.
Right.
Like, if he was kidnapped by a human being and kept, like, probably a year later, not wearing the same Halloween costume, Probably.
Or these people on the bus would be like, why does this kid smell so bad?
And why is he wearing a Halloween costume?
And why does he look like Where's Waldo? Because he lost his, he was a pirate for Halloween?
Yes.
He lost his hat. He had a painted-on eye patch, which has faded.
Yes.
He just looks like Where's Waldo. I think that's an ironic joke. Like, where's my kid? Where's... I don't know.
Oh, man. If only his name was Waldo in this movie.
Missed opportunities.
So, yeah. So, Nicolas Cage is just investigating this and, you know, having all these spooky but not spooky things happen. And then, of course, his wife blames him. Like, you didn't protect our child. Oh, yeah,
you had to go to the stupid carnival.
You had to go to the stupid carnival because you're a bad dad.
I'm not DTF anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was then. That's how they proved that they weren't, like, you know, like, she's just like, I'm no longer DTF. And
it was really weird how DTF she was.
She really was. She was so hot for Nick Cage.
He's like, hey, I got tenured.
And she's just like, oh yeah. We're going to bang tonight. Pow, chicka, pow, pow. Wait, so what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so the wife is not having any weird episodes of weirdness.
Right.
Until that one, she wakes up or she's doing work and she goes downstairs and the kid used to ride his Razor scooter like through the house.
Which is so ridiculous.
You know, but I mean, it's a kid thing. They have a big house.
I like
whatever.
How they yelled at him for shooting the little dart thing. Oh, great indoor activity. Yeah. As he's riding around on
Razor
scooter.
But then the mom comes down the steps and like she's looking down the hallway in the kitchen and then like the Razor scooter like rides by but without anyone on it, just like by itself.
Ghost scooter
and it looked so ridiculous. Like it was played for horror, for scariness.
Right.
Not scary. Silly. No. Very silly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when it came down the hallway at her and then like went right in front of her and then fell over.
Right.
I laughed. I laughed out loud. I laughed so loud my dog jumped up.
Yeah.
And my dog can't jump. She's old.
Right. And like I don't know. The effects and like the jump scares. Let's talk about the jump scares.
All right. Talk about them.
Half of them were awful.
Yes.
And then there was like really good ones.
Yeah, like there was one actually decent one towards the end. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good jump scare. And again, because this movie like straddles the fence of like good and bad. Your jump scare was either saw it coming from a mile away, mm-hmm. horrible, not scary, like whatever, to like, oh, that was pretty good.
The best one is the one at the end. I won't spoil what happens, but it's a character kind of up on an elevated place. The character comes in, the ghost woman comes in at the bottom right of the corner and looks up and then flies up at the character,
mm-hmm.
which was great. You didn't see it coming.
Yep.
And it was you know, fast. The ghost moved real fast. The character was scared. It was great. But everything else was just really bad. Like, oh, I'm looking out the window. Oh, there's a dark cloud coming my way. Oh, surprise!
Surprise!
Ghost space. Oh, wait, nothing.
And, okay, so Nicolas Cage is investigating, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They call the psychic. The psychic gets roasted.
Right.
I didn't think
his investigating was bad.
His investigating
for like,
was, you
generic
know.
Guy.
Yeah, I mean, they yeah, didn't, at least they didn't, he was like a professor, so he didn't do the infamous, like, Google, like, weird, witchy mysteriousness.
Right. Yeah.
Because basically, the plot is that in the 1600s, a lady got burned as a stake for being a witch, and she had three kids.
Right. There was a plague. Everyone thought it was her
fault. So they burned her at the stake, and now every year on Halloween...
She had to watch her three kids burn first.
Right, exactly. Burn first, and then they burned her. And so every year on Halloween, she gets to kidnap three kids and take them back with her to Ghost World.
Right.
All right, and
the ghost cottage,
and this year she picked the wrong kid.
Bum, bum, bum.
And
she took the Spanish kid, the Chinese kid, and the white kid. Mm-hmm.
So that was basically so paying the ghost was giving her your kid. Like, what happened if you didn't pay the ghost? Like. I feel like they just had this idea for the phrase pay the ghost and tried to work a movie around it because it doesn't make any sense.
Right. There's a little bit of talk about it when they go to the Celtic thing.
So, all right. So, I know that's your favorite scene in the movie.
Because the one woman.
Wait. Right. Okay. Right. So,
she's the best.
She's the best. They go up to her, right? And they're like, hey, what's going on here? Our son was missing. She's like, oh, I'm very... Well, first when she comes down and she looks all... You said she looked like Princess
Leia.
Leia.
Yeah.
She comes down and she's like, filled with all of this mystery.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, our son went missing. And then she like takes off the hood and she's just like, I'm just a school teacher.
I'm a school teacher.
I don't know anything.
I don't know anything. Well, let me ask you some questions then.
Right. And then Nicolas Cage is like, no, wait, you don't understand. Our child is missing. And she's just like, oh, well, legends say blah, 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 blah. And she just starts feeding
them
every piece of information, every like plot
piece
that's been missing for the last, you know, 47 minutes of the movie. She just dumps. She just info dumps.
Because like the only reason they went there is because that was the area where they practiced the old Celtic version of Halloween, basically.
Right.
They just wanted to learn that.
They're right.
Like, tell me about this. And she's like, well, here's every plot ever.
Yeah. It was amazing. Like, I was like, oh my God, this lady, for a lady who was like, I don't know anything, I'm just a school teacher, you ask her one right question, she just spills her guts. Sure. She knows everything.
But that's where they at least kind of explain the pay the ghost thing, where the kids burn the dolls.
Right, right, because as an offering.
Please don't take me kind of thing, which who knows if that even works.
Yeah, who knows? It clearly
doesn't. No.
Clearly doesn't.
Don't take us. She's like, all right, go into Chinatown.
So what else? What else was great about this movie?
Nothing. Nothing was great. It was so unbearably mediocre.
And then I guess so the weird German Swedish lady, she gets killed by the ghost lady. And there were like no rules for the ghost. Like, you know, like most times ghosts haunt a place.
Right.
She could go anywhere because she went and she killed the German Swedish lady at the college, wherever that is.
Right.
Threw her out a window and killed Nicolas Cage's kid, killed the psychic searching for the kid at Nicolas Cage's house.
Right.
And
the only rules for the ghost was it was around Halloween. Like,
yeah.
It was even days before. Like,
because
they explain the lunar something or other lining up to where the ghost is able to come to our world.
Because it's where it's like weakest.
Right. Which made sense. And that
the
was
veil.
Fine.
Yeah.
But the ghost was just like, yeah, I'm coming over. Yeah, I'm going to do this shit. Yeah, you're screwed. there was no rules for the ghost.
And
the ghost had no weakness.
No weakness. She was super strong, and she could fly, and she could set people on fire inside of their bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty badass ghost.
Pretty intense. The vultures were never explained.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess because of death.
I guess.
But,
like, the kids, they're...
But they were, like, real vultures. And, like, the one vulture, I guess, because the one vulture kept following the kid.
Right.
So I guess that was symbolizing, like, your dead kid.
I guess. But, like, after that, like, once she has the...
Why
are the vultures still around?
I don't know.
Oh, he's going to that place where we wrote "Pay the Ghost" on the wall.
Yeah,
let's send.
Yeah,
a vulture.
Yeah. They were just hanging.
Like, it was weird.
And that was the other. Okay, so that was the other funny thing. To I guess the veil between the ghost world and the real world. There's like a bridge,
right?
And it's in where all the crazy homeless people are. So Nicolas Cage goes to where the crazy homeless people are, crosses a long spooky bridge with a flashlight that the homeless guy gave him.
He's got every version of torch.
And he's got the British and the American versions of torch are covered. And then he goes, and then are we to believe that he goes to the 1600s?
I'm not sure.
Also, why if, like, because she had those heavy rocks placed on the, because, okay, so the kids are in, like, a basement-y kind of area.
An old cellary.
Yeah. Ghost cellar.
Ghost
cellar. The ghost cellar.
Mm-hmm. It's where you keep your ghosts.
Yes.
Rocks, they can't get through them.
And, and she puts those rocks on there, I guess, so the actual kids can't. So, a ghost kidnaps a child.
Yes.
Takes it back to the weird underground homeless thing.
Let's
across
assume it's
the bridge.
The 1600s.
Right, across the bridge to the 1600s.
Right.
Buries them in the basement and then puts rocks on top of them so that they can't get out. I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why there were rocks on the.
I could understand
on the basement
if, like,
door.
The kids aren't completely dead yet. Like, they're kind of.
But right.
Like, the older, the kids that have been kidnapped years and years and years ago.
Well, they're straight ghosts now.
They're straight
dead.
Ghosts. So I guess there's a window of X years.
Well, right. So, because she keeps them alive for a year, because you have 1 year to get them back.
I don't know.
Why?
It didn't make sense.
Because those kids, he's not eating. He's not pooping.
No. No, he's not.
He's not eating or pooping.
He's still Waldo.
He's still dressed in the same clothes for 1 year later.
Right.
That brings us to the best part of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Once he saves the kid.
Right.
All right. Back up a little bit. He saves the kid, but when he does, Mia and the Spanish kid,
Pablo.
I think his name is Pablo. So Mia and Pablo are there too, and they're like, "Can we come?" And the dialogue choice was weird because Nicolas Cage was like, "There's not enough time."
Right, and I thought he was going to be like, "Fuck these kids."
Yeah,
he's like, "All hold hands." Let's
There's not enough time. Like that's the way that it. Because like if I said like Tim, if you were like, "Hey Ryan, can I come with you to Wawa?" And I was like, "There's not enough time."
you just leave.
You would think that was a no.
Right.
Like I wouldn't be like, "There's not enough time. Let's go." Like it was such a weird dialogue choice. I was like, "Holy shit, Nicolas Cage is going to leave these two kids behind. Like you ain't my kid. I don't care."
I was hoping for that. I really was.
That would have been amazing. So
that part wasn't terrible though, because he would touch the. He was looking for his kid. They all raised their hands.
Yeah, when he said Charlie. Yeah.
So he runs his hands over all the hands, and they're like disintegrating as he touches.
Yeah, because they're ghost hands.
Ghost hands.
And then he finally like.
Yeah.
And he grabs his kid's hand. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like if this movie was in like had a slightly better like director and like script
writer.
Tweak.
Yeah.
Like script tweak, it might have been solid.
The idea wasn't bad,
right?
But there was a couple rules for the ghost would have helped, and I don't know.
It's pretty run of the mill, but
it's a shame. Like Nicolas Cage was okay in this movie.
He was all right.
Yeah,
he was all right.
This could have been one of those things that got him back on track.
I was hoping
put him on a track.
I was hoping for like a crazy drive angry style performance where he's just like.
I just wanted bullets draped all over him.
Yeah, he'd shoot the ghosts.
Shoot the ghost with his special ghost shotgun.
All right, so let's get into the end where the kid comes back.
Yes.
Okay, so it flash forward for 1 year later.
Mm-hmm.
So the ghost keeps the kids for 1 year. You have 1 year to find your kid before she gets to keep them
forever. Right.
Because I guess when she takes new kids, the other kids become ghosts.
I guess.
Again,
no rules.
No rules. Not explained.
OP ghost.
So
but there's a little bit of rules.
A little bit of rules.
Tiny bit.
So, oh, and before we get, because I'm really saving this end. This is what they call a radio tease.
Ooh.
It's going to be a letdown. But
oh.
The way that Nicolas Cage escapes, because the ghost is super strong. She can fly. She has no known weaknesses.
None.
She's just fucking Nicolas Cage up.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
she's
totally
messing him up. So he's on the ropes. She's gonna win.
Yep.
And all of a sudden his son's just like, "Help us," to all 400 ghost children.
Right.
And they all just start flying and they swirl around and they like take her away.
Right.
And so Nicolas Cage doesn't even defeat the ghost.
Not at all.
The little kids she kidnapped, not the living ones, the ones she already kidnapped. Why didn't they do that like 100 years ago?
I know.
What took them so long?
What was
so
different now?
Why is it so different now?
Those rocks. They couldn't get by those rocks,
the rocks
on the cellar.
Ghosts hate rocks.
Nah, there's some sort of weakness.
If you guys
are in a cellar.
If you guys are in a haunted house ever, just put some rocks in front of a door or a cellar
rocks
door.
In your pocket.
Yeah,
you'll
rocks
probably
in
be
your
fine.
Pocket. Because they can't lift you up.
No,
you're too heavy.
Yeah. That's how ghosts work. Just a little extra weight beyond your actual body mass. You'll be fine.
Ryan and Tim are Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's our new podcast.
We're Ghostbusters.
We're Ghostbusters.
Can we just go to haunted places?
Yeah, with rocks in our pockets.
It would be great.
It's also good for throwing them at the ghosts, too.
Yeah, we'll take a slingshot and a rock and take them out.
So, Nicolas Cage returns to his home.
Yep.
With his son.
Yep.
Wife is waiting.
Yep.
So happy,
sure.
Of course, to see her one-year lost son.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, "Where were you?" And he was like, "I was at the carnival with dad."
Right.
And she's just like, "Oh," and she like looks all like, "Ooh," and she looks at Nicolas Cage and she's like, "He doesn't remember?" And Nicolas Cage shakes his head no. So now I'm confused.
Right.
I'm confused because he is not aged, I guess, is what they're saying, but the world has moved on. He was old enough to know what, like, calendar years are.
Right.
So, the next day, when he's just like, "Oh, it's November 1st, like, 2015, they're going to be like, "Well, it's actually November 1st, 2016. He's going to be like, "What?"
you're so dumb.
Yeah, like, Mom, stop it. And be like, you, what are you doing? Like, how are they going to explain that one away?
And, like, he can't Google that he was missing all this time?
Right, for a year. Like, that's so, like, I don't understand why.
I guess they're going to have to tackle it, but they didn't do it in the movie at all.
I don't understand that choice by the script. Just have him remember.
Yeah. They all should remember.
They should all remember.
Or make it so Nicolas Cage doesn't remember. Like, once they go back through that,
Or they go back, and they go back in time so that it just, seriously, so that it's like that night and none of this ever happened. All right, this is a little bit of a, you know, a reset kind of lame. But it makes more sense logically, the fact that he's the only one, him and the kids, they're the ones that don't remember, despite the fact that a year has gone by now. It doesn't make any sense.
It's an odd choice. It doesn't really accomplish anything.
No, it doesn't.
Also, it has the classic horror movie ending of the vulture still being there at the end.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, come on.
Pay the Ghost 2.
Pay the Ghost 2. Ghost Ransom.
Ghost Ransom. Yeah, we were wondering. It's like, yeah, is this a Ghost Ransom? So, all right. Now it's time to play Guess the Rotto Tomato Scorers.
All right. All right, you don't know?
I don't know. I was just about to look it up, but I'm gonna put in my guess first.
Okay.
Since I'm going like down the middle of the road movie, mm-hmm. I'm saying 47%.
I'm gonna say I don't think this movie was as bad as it clearly should have been.
Right.
But I'm gonna say it's lower. Ooh. I'm gonna go 28%.
28. All right. Yeah. Let's see what we got.
To the old computer here. Maybe there's some cool facts about this movie. I don't know. Probably not.
Oh, yeah. There could be cool facts.
There could be. Like, it was written on a napkin over a weekend.
Oh, sheesh.
Oh, yeah. What do we got?
We're both way off.
Wow. Too much credit.
11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's a little rough.
That's rough on this movie. This is not an 11% movie.
No.
I think they saw Nicolas Cage and right. were immediately like, 26% of audiences liked it, though.
That's about right. That goes with what
that
I thought.
Yeah, yeah. That's closer to what you said.
I'm filling in space for it.
This is a funny. If it's remembered for nothing else, and it almost certainly won't be, Yuli Edel's Pay the Ghost can at least make claim to being the first film to feature a haunted razor scooter in a horror set piece. So true. I could not believe how funny that was.
It was weird.
Yep.
What else has that guy directed?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah.
Let's full figure of the this good out. Questions.
Let's figure this out.
Look at you, Mr. Good Question.
All right. What else has this guy done? Nothing. I hope there's a sequel in the works.
Pay the Ghost. Ooh, let's see what IMDb. IMDb has 5.2 out of 10, which is...
Yeah.
That's probably what I would give it.
Right. It's very mediocre, and it doesn't ever need to be watched again.
All right, so... we're looking for the director.
The director.
All right. He's from Germany.
Okay. So that's probably where that one woman was supposed to be from.
Yeah, that would make sense.
It's probably
director.
His wife.
Probably is. He directed some episodes of Houdini, a TV miniseries. The Mist of Avalon, TV miniseries. Homicide, Life on the Street, the TV series.
Oh, yeah. I've at least heard of that one.
Twin Peaks, the TV series.
The old one or the new one?
The old one.
Ooh, okay.
Looks like he's got a lot of TV, and then like, oh, Oz, he directed an Oz.
There was a haunted razor scooter in that episode.
And Codename Opera, which is his upcoming film.
Mm.
But yeah, he was born in Germany. He's also a writer. And,
I mean, quote unquote.
Yeah. So let's see... let's see if there's any cool trivia for ye old Pay the Ghost.
Ah, yes.
Let's see, IMDb trivia. All right.
Did you know? This movie's awful. All
right. According to one of the extras on the set, Nicolas Cage was reportedly so angry on a day of shooting, he kicked in one of the prop pumpkins.
Oh,
why is he so mad on this, you know?
He has to pay the ghost.
He has to, yeah. It was actually first announced in 2010 with a guy named Dennis Ilaliads as the director. I don't know how you say his last name.
Interesting. But he passed.
Oh, he's a Greek director.
Mm.
Huh. He did Last House on the Left from 2009. Mm. So, Sarah plays Dr. Sarah, whatever, in Prison Break. She is the love interest of Michael Scofield. For this film, she plays the wife of another actor named Michael. Whoa, that's trivia for you.
Wow.
Yikes.
Good job.
Okay, so not counting all of Annie's previous victims, the body count is 5. Annie, her 3 children, the psychic medium, and Hannah. Oh, I was going to say, who's Hannah? But she was the German lady who got pushed out the window by the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, the ghost killed the psychic by burning her inside out. And she killed Hannah by just pushing her out a window.
Right.
I mean, if you got the ability to burn people from the inside out, pushing someone out the window seems kind of ho-hum.
Why did she go to the university in the first place? Like, I understand she was researching her and giving them information,
well, right,
but, like,
well,
how does she know? Because there's no rules for the ghost. That's the biggest problem with the movie.
Well, right, and like,
and it being very
you
mediocre.
Said it when we were, you said it when we were watching it, like, uh-oh, she said her name.
Yeah.
She said the ghost's name, right. So now she's dead. Right, like, why is she killing her? Because she knows about her?
The only thing I could think of is because the vulture was following Nicolas Cage in the taxi cab. Which is lame.
Yeah.
And very weak.
Yeah.
But that's all I could think of.
I guess you're right. It doesn't make sense why the ghost killed her just for knowing things. Because why didn't the ghost kill the school teacher? School teacher knew a whole hell of a lot.
Oh, I can't help you. I'm just a school teacher.
Oh.
Let me tell you everything ever about mythology.
Yeah. About Irish folklore. All right. So, what are your final thoughts on Pay of the Ghost?
It was an emotional roller coaster. I was initially, when we saw Nicolas Cage as the
you
main...
You were excited.
Yeah, I was negatively...
You are a fan.
I'm not. No, I don't... How does he have a career? I don't even know.
Because he won one Oscar, and he's been riding it ever since. And now he just makes every movie he can because he has to pay for those dumb islands that he bought.
I guess. He should just rent out the islands. To Taylor Swift.
All right, yeah, my final thoughts are I feel like I say the same things every time I'm noticing this trend, like longest 90 minute movie ever.
It was really long. Like, we paused it at what, 50 minutes?
Yeah,
we're like,
and we're like,
can't
how
be
much?
That much,
and we're like, oh god, 34
yeah,
minutes,
pretty
or whatever.
Abysmal. And like, at that point, not much had actually happened.
No,
it's like a lot of plot advancement at the end.
I feel like it must be harder than I think to make like a nice tight 90 minute movie, because you know, like, if you see, like, 2 hours and 14 minutes, you're just like, oh, God, here we go. But when you see 90, you're like, how bad can it be?
Right.
Like, that's like 2 episodes of a TV show. How bad could it be? And
right.
They find ways. They go out of their way.
I don't know, man. I feel like these people need to try a little harder or just not take the bad scripts.
Yeah.
Or tighten up those scripts. You know, I don't know.
Do something. I don't know. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of, when I listen to your podcast and when I'm on your podcast, I feel like a lot of it has to do with the writing. The writing is the bad. Like, how many of these movies you've seen now in season one, how many of them would you say were terrible directing? You know, like, you can forgive bad effects and low budgets. You can forgive a lot of that stuff. How much of it is the directing versus just really
you know what?
Bad
no,
writing?
Yeah. Like, nowadays, too, because of the proliferation of film gear and like how like you could practically shoot a movie on an iPhone and it would be decent.
Sure.
Like it's you're right, it's not usually the acting, it's not usually the directing, it's pacing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess could be directing or editing, but it's usually pacing and it's usually the writing. It's usually bad dialogue or a shit story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, well, I thought this movie was boring and mediocre.
I also felt this movie was boring and mediocre. It didn't do a whole hell of a lot.
Nope.
It made Nicolas Cage look better in my eyes, which that is
yeah,
not something
he
I
actually,
wanted.
You know what? He actually does elevate this movie. If there had been
right?
someone else in that role, it might have gone down.
Yeah, it would have bored me quicker.
Quicker, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, because also you're waiting for the whole time for him to go nuts.
Right.
He doesn't So that's the one thing I wanted to take away from this movie for anyone who's just like, I might want to watch this. Nicolas Cage does not go nuts in this movie.
No, there's a lot of teasing it. Like, he dresses as a cowboy for Halloween. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look at him in that shirt. I hope he wears it the rest of the movie.
He doesn't.
And that's why I wanted bullets across his chest. Old school Western bullets.
A bandolier.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Tim, tell us a little bit about what you like to do when you're not three times on Ryan Hates Movies.
Oh, I'm not allowed to legally talk about those things.
Oh.
No, I am on Capes and Scowls Podcast.
Woo!
You can find us at capesandscowlspodcast.com. I am on Twitter at @mad_dog_Tim. And I'm just always around. If you need me, just click your heels three times, and I will be here to three-peat on your podcast.
Yeah, on your podcast. Yeah, you can find me at The Young Ryan on the Twitter, and like the Facebook page and do all that stuff, and welcome to season two.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Halloween.
Yes. Check your candy.
Check your candy for Nicolas Cage.
Mm-hmm. He could be in there.
And good luck and Godspeed. Say goodbye, Tim.
Goodbye, Tim.